This first question, I think, is really for everybody. I'd love to hear everybody's thoughts on this, but define for me, what is inclusive dance and physically integrated dance? How do you define that? Go ahead, Toku. Go ahead, Toku.
I don't really know how you would define it, but I, in my opinion, or in my mind, is that it's dance for everyone, everyone that wants to participate, and regardless of who they are and what they look like and whatever, what part of the world they come from, or just anybody who really wants to dance and to move.
Yeah, Mark?
I would say for Axis Dance Company, we are a physically integrated dance company. So we integrate disabled and non-disabled dancers with physical disabilities to move and dance and perform together. But definitely with our outreach and education work that we do, that is all inclusive. So we're trying to include everyone within the community, within society, to get engaged with dance.
And Sean, if you wanted to jump in there.
I just underscore what everybody said. Even last night during the opening reception, there was talk of dancers with a hearing impairment to be able to dance. And we've had blind dancers with Karen Peterson dancers. So it doesn't matter what your ability level is, your age level is, your physical, it's an open invitation to dance.
That's a pretty good definition. I like that. Toke, you grew up in, you were doing gymnastics in Denmark.
I was, yeah.
And how did that transition into dance?
In Denmark, we have a very specific kind of gymnastics, which is not the gymnastics I did were more performative, less competitive. So in Denmark, we have these huge teams of boys and girls that work towards a presentation or a performance about half an hour each season.
So it was an easy transition for you then?
Yeah, it kind of made sense to move into dance and movement related.
What got you into dance though? Was it a person, a moment, something that pushed you in that direction?
I have always, when I did gymnastics, I've always been more fascinated about the movement part of it, rather than the tumbling. So it for me was a natural transition into dance. And when I took this course where I had the opportunity to move into dance, and I took that opportunity and I just fell in love immediately.
I wondered, you know, for you, especially in Denmark, but in many of the places that you've traveled, what opportunities are there for folks within the disabled community, you know, to study dance? Are there a lot of opportunities?
I don't really know. I don't think there's definitely not a lot of opportunities. In my case, it was more, I don't want to use the word lucky, but I met people that believed in me and saw me for who I am instead of my disability. And I think that helped me find solutions of different movement parts and helped me to make sense of my movement. And within my disability and using my disability as a force to move from.
If you could, and because this is radio, describe to people what is that disability.
I'm born without my left arm from the elbow and down.
I wanted to ask all of you this question, actually. That what I just asked him is, like, I wanted to know, are there enough opportunities or, you know, around the country, around the world, you know, for everybody to have the opportunity to learn how to dance, or is it limited right now?
I would clearly say no, that there's not enough opportunity. I think that has changed over the years. I mean, it's gradually increasing. But integrated dance began over 30 years ago. And disabled community, people with disabilities were always told they can't dance or you shouldn't dance. And that's just way growing up in society, that the expectation was if you're disabled, you wouldn't be dancing. So the first thing we've had to do is change people's perceptions around who can dance and who should dance and who can access dance training. But now there are more opportunities for disabled people to access dance training and degrees in dance. But it depends on the institution or the university as well to make sure that they're open and adaptable to take on people with disabilities.
And we're not just talking about dancing. I mean, we're talking about dancing at a professional level.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm an artistic director. I'm a disabled choreographer and artistic director of Axis Dance Company, and I'm always needing to employ dancers. So I need to train dancers. So at Axis, we do a lot of in-house training opportunities. So we always have our summer intensive program, We started our first ever choreo lab for disabled choreographers, and also dance training that we have regularly in our home base in Oakland, California, to give people the opportunity to start training and engaging in dance.
And Mark, if you could, again, also for our audience, explain to them what your disability is.
Yeah, definitely. I acquired my disability over 21 years ago from a motor vehicle accident in South Africa. So I acquired a spinal cord injury at C67. So I'm paralyzed from the chest down and use a manual wheelchair.
And at what point, I mean, were you dancing before that or you came into it afterward?
Yeah, I did all my formal training in Australia, in Melbourne. So I went through an arts college where I did dance and academic, and then the Australian Ballet School and Australian Ballet Company, and then moved to South Africa to dance with Pact Ballet when I had the accident. So
and I mean, after that's over, because as you know, you had that training, is that it is something that requires so much movement, or that's what the perception is, that it's dancers are these athletes, and all of a sudden now you've got part of your body you can't use the same way. How did you change in your perception of what you could and couldn't do?
Great question. I think first of all, I had to stop listening to my brain and what I was taught and told that a dancer was and how a dancer looked, to be on 2 feet with beautiful feet, wonderful turnout, high extensions, and actually go internal to me and my heart. Like, what did dance mean to me? And dance was about expressing myself through my body. And I still had a body. Everyone has a body. We just have to find that way to be able to express ourselves through movement. And for me as a choreographer, that really sparked a creative challenge of, okay, so if I have this restriction, this physical disability, how do I use that to create possibilities and solutions? So that's really empowered my choreographic practice to use restrictions to create interesting movement and dance.
And Sean, you as well. I mean, I wanted to get a sense for the audience, one, what is your disability, but, you know, how have you broken through and gotten past that the way Mark was describing it?
Yeah, my disability, also I use a wheelchair, a manual wheelchair. Mine was a virus in my spinal cord over 33 years ago at the C6 level. So I have movement from the neck down, but it's limited. I kind of stumbled into the dance world after seeing Karen Peterson dancers perform here in Miami back in 1991. And like the common response, you know, a dancer is somebody that's on their 2 feet that do these beautiful movements. I thought, I can't do that. And she had an inclusive company then. I just didn't see myself doing anything like that. And then about 11 years ago, I got to see them perform again. And I thought, I would like to support them financially. So I gave her my information. Here's how you can contact me whenever you're doing fundraising or something like that. And then she posted auditions, and I signed up, and now I'm a dancer with her for the last 11 years.
What was it like when you showed up for auditions?
I mean, I really didn't know what to expect, but we did a lot of improvisation, which you might be given different structures or ideas to work from that you would use your body to employ. And so I just kind of followed those instructions, and working with other dancers, when I did the audition, I was the only disabled dancer there. Everybody else was on their feet. So just interacting with them, just exploring what that was, and I enjoyed it. I just kind of let myself go.
I'd imagine, and because something, Mark, that you said that sparked in me is, when folks come in and watch you perform, obviously the first thing they're going to see is, wait a second, so this person is dealing with a disability. Well, what am I going to see? What do I expect? And I want to hear from all of you is, what do they say afterward? After you show them, you know, look past that. That's the, you know, and there's more to it. After that first impression, I wanted to know what kind of things you've heard from people. You know, in how it just opened their minds and to a new reality. Toka, let me start with you.
Yeah. For me, people usually say that they see my disability first, and then after a couple of minutes, they see everything else in that. So they don't notice it anymore. And I don't know if that's because I'm a trained dancer, that I know how to use my body, or I know how to take people's minds off my disability and put that into my movement and how I extend myself and use the space around me. But I think that's also what I've heard from lots of other people, that they don't see the person's disability after a few moments, but the person or the dancer.
After a while, it's the performance.
Yeah, exactly. It's what happens in space that's more important.
Yeah, Mark, I mean, you know, maybe a great story that you've heard. Somebody comes up to you and said, I'm surprised, I didn't realize. You know, what's something that you know, a memory that you have that, you know, you enjoy, you appreciate because you changed somebody's mind about something?
Yeah, I mean, I've had just recently someone who came and saw Access for the first time was like, I'm totally blown away from this performance. It's totally beyond my own expectation of what I thought it was. And a lot of people aren't educated and to know what this sort of integrated dance is. But I think once they get to see the performance and see it live and experience that collaboration of disabled and non-disabled dancers working together, that yes, they initially may be looking at the disabilities and what are the disabilities, but then it goes beyond that, because then they start seeing the artistry and the chemistry and feel the emotion of the energy of what's being created in the space from diversity, from different bodies working and creating art together. So that's really exciting.
You know, from you, Mark, I'd love to know, anybody actually, please jump in. And Sean, you know, you think of dancers and you go through all this training and you're trained in classical and you're trained in modern and all these different things. Is there now, you know, a training, a style when you're talking about people with disabilities, especially people who are in wheelchairs, or is that still something that we're developing, that we're, you know, I want to know, like, you know, that understanding of how we're teaching dancers in this situation, like they taught you, how are they doing that? What's the training right now?
I mean, for me, working integrated dance, often the first way in is through improvisation, as Sean mentioned. So it's about how we all take this information and improvise with an idea and a concept and are able to apply it to our bodies. So it's not body specific. And there hasn't been yet that I know of a technique developed just for dancers who may be using wheelchairs. But I know different companies and different artists are really exploring, say, for instance, existing techniques like classical ballet, or at Access the moment, we're working with the Horton technique to really explore how we can make that and translate that technique to different bodies. So taking the principles and ideas of these existing historic techniques and making them work for diverse bodies.
And Shauna, you know, I thought about something you said a moment ago. And when you run into somebody who was where you were at the beginning, not knowing where to even begin, what do you tell them? What are you telling them about what to expect and what they should be thinking moving forward?
To when they come to see a performance?
Or not only that, but also if they're thinking about doing it.
Well then I would like to enthusiastically welcome them to come, because we've done different workshops or weekly classes that are open to people in the community. So then they have an opportunity to explore what that might be like. So we've had different people come with different disabilities to experience what that's like. And then they keep coming back.
You know, I use that word because I don't know, and I see the world only, I guess, through the prism of my own understanding of life. But I wonder, do you see it as a disability, or is it an advantage, or is it just it like anybody else? You don't even see it. It doesn't matter. Toka.
I definitely see my disability as an advantage. And I think I also see other people with disabilities as an advantage for me as a mover, because it creates so many different opportunities for me to move with them, and for me to move together with other people. It creates a level shift, it creates an energy shift, a tempo shift, and a shift in a perception about what is possible here and what is not possible. And then you explore all of those things together, and that's really exciting.
Sean, how do you see it?
Well, just listening to Toka, and there's times where there's surprises in the movement, because the wheels of the wheelchair can move when you don't expect it. However, different weight shifts might happen, and then the chair takes off on its own. So there's those elements of surprise, and then responding to those kind of make it exciting.
Mark, earlier I talked about, are there enough opportunities? You said no, and I'm wondering, is part of Access's work, is it outreach, and how does that work? How are you doing that?
Yeah, I mean, at Access, our mission is to change the face of dance and disability. And we do that through the three pillars that we have of artistry, our performance work, and then our engagement work, so our education outreach work, in which we have over 140 touch points throughout the year, and also our advocacy work. And our advocacy work really feeds into our engagement and performance work. And as I mentioned, you know, we go into schools, we have school assembly programs, so we're working with, you know, elementary kids and teenagers to really educate them around dance and contemporary dance, and also disability and empowering, you know, disability. And also we do a teacher training program. So we're teaching teachers to look at their own practice of teachers to be more inclusive, so then they can go back to their own communities and be inviting disabled people to their school.
You guys were recently in Jacksonville, Florida, right?
That's right.
And that led to, inspired people to start a program.
Yeah, that's very true. So we're doing a Florida tour at the moment. So we started in Tampa, and then we're just in Jacksonville. And we work with Brooks Rehab, Adaptive Sports, and Jacksonville University. And we did a 3-day teacher training and works with the rehab group. And now they're wanting to start, or they are going to start, I'm holding them up to it, start their first integrated dance classes.
Fantastic. Wow. Sean, the Karen Peterson Dance Company has become an arts institution here in Miami. How has the company changed career trajectories for people, and how has it grown?
Oh, career trajectories.
I mean, has it helped people to, you know, find a life in dance that maybe they didn't think they had? Or if anything, at least how has the dance company grown over the years?
I think the dance company has grown in its work, in the depth of its work, just as I've been with her the last 11 years, mm-hmm. just exploring so many different ideas and projects. I think the depth of the work has really gone places that I never even expected to find in myself.
Are there any goals or ideas of where you want to take it from here?
I know Karen's got plans for the future, but I don't want to speak for her. I don't know exactly what those are clearly, but it's still a mission to keep the company going, to keep it that institution that it is. It's been since 1990.
I wanted to go around the table to ask all of you is I wanted to know really the future of the art form and how it's changing and evolving. And I think that as you go, like as Mark said, you know, it's that constant outreach, you're constantly reaching new people, not just performers, but again, just, you know, the audiences and showing them something they may not be used to and opening up new worlds. But where do you see this going now? What has to happen next? Toka, let me start with you. What do you think is important to really expand and grow the art form?
I think what we do in Kaduka Dance Company is that we question what dance can be and what dance is. And for me, that's very exciting because we are coming out to such a huge community, basically all over the world. And I think we're quite similar to Access Dance Company as well in our outreach and who our participants are, and doing teacher training courses to educate or to make people aware of how to be inclusive in the dance practice.
And when you think about the event coming up this weekend, especially, you know, what would the message be? Especially, like, for example, if you have families, and what that message could be to kids.
I don't know.
That's okay. No, that's all right. Not.
I could say something.
All right, Mark. Yeah. I mean, thinking about the event, you know, especially for this weekend, what would that message be for families and especially for kids? Because you've already had the chance to work with kids.
Yeah, I would just, you know, it's about that mind shift and to show that the possibilities are endless, you know, to keep exploring the art form of dance and to be there, to be moved, to experience what dance and integrated dance in particular with this festival has to offer. And what I would like to see in the future is more exposure to different communities, universities for training, and also for all of this work to be embedded in all of the performing arts and venues and presenters.
Mm. And Sean, yeah, and for the weekend events as well, what else would you tell people about what they can expect?
Oh, I think being able to come to the workshops, you're going to get to explore the two dance companies of Kenduko and Axis providing those workshops on Friday and Saturday that I think are going to be real exciting. Just to kind of piggyback on the what the message might be for kids, Karen Peterson has dancers that go into the Miami-Dade school system and work with children with special needs. And I think they've been doing that for almost 11 years as well. And then they do a big showcase in the spring. And I was able to see the showcase this past year, and the excitement on all those kids' faces to perform was priceless. It's kind of planting those seeds early on that you can be a dancer and a mover, no matter what your ability.
So, okay, let me come back to you for a second, because I do want to ask you this. For you professionally, I mean, what are your goals? Where else do you want to take your career from here?
I love taking everything I learn in Kenduko and to imply that in my teaching. I love to teach and I love to do workshops. And I think my approach is that I love to make people aware of themselves and to question themselves. Dance for me is all about communication and how do we communicate with the world through movement. And I would love to question that in people. I'd love to make people question themselves about how do I actually communicate my body language to other people.
Well put, definitely. Toka Strandby is a performer with the Kenduko Dance Company in London. Mark Brew is the artistic director of Axis Dance Company in Oakland. And Sean Buller is a dancer with the Karen Peterson Dance Company here in Miami. Again, thank you so much. I really appreciate all of your time and for sharing with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.